This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
We actually have Ruth Barson on the phone. Ruth is the Director of Legal Advocacy for the Human Rights Law Centre. Good morning, Ruth. Sorry for that, the bit of banter.
Oh, no, that's fine. Fair enough for a Saturday morning. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. So I'm Mackett. Tass is here as well.
Good morning.
Neil Mitchell.
Morning.
Hi.
There's been, obviously, you know, Parkville. What has happened at Parkville? Has it been effective as a detention facility? The issue that people are talking about, and I'm sure Neil's got a question on this as well, the relocation of inmates to Barwon Prison. If I can ask the question, Ruth, they can't stay at Parkville because it's wrecked. Where do they go if you don't send them to Barwon? Where do these offenders go? Where do we put them?
Well, I think the first thing that we need to remember and always keep in mind is that Barwon is the hardest adult prison in the state. It's built as a maximum security prison for prisoners like Carl Williams, like Julian Knight, and other really, really serious offenders. So I think our very first point should be that no doubt the government has a difficult policy challenge on its hands, but the response has to be better than one of cruelty, one of sending children to the state's worst prison.
What's the option?
Well, I think really clearly that we live in Victoria, a jurisdiction which has resources, which has a number of facilities around the state. There has to be better options than sending children to a maximum security adult prison, the same prison that Carl Williams was murdered at.
But isn't it fair to say that it wouldn't be run as a maximum security, that this part of the jail is to be used as a youth facility and, you know, they won't be locked in their cells, they won't be treated like maximum security prisoners. Isn't that fair?
Well, if we look at the behaviour the last week and the reports that we've been getting over the last week, I'd say absolutely not. Our understanding is that children have been held in lockdown, so solitary confinement conditions for over 20 hours a day, that correction staff, so adult prison officers who are used to be prison guards for the maximum security adult prisoners, are still on the unit. So there's no suggestion at all that children there are being treated as children. But more broadly than that, if we think about how a youth prison is built, it's built with classrooms in mind, it's built with visit centres in mind, it's built with program and rehabilitation areas in mind, with outdoor areas. This is a facility that was built for people like Julian Knight. So we can change the name, the government can call it whatever it wants, but it doesn't change the facts.
Some of these people are very heavy criminals. They are young. Some of them are over the age of 18, but they are very heavy criminals. We don't want them on the street, not as a form of punishment, as a form of protection for the community. Some of these people break into houses in the middle of the night and smash things up with baseball bats. Some of them run into your car and steal your car. We are lucky in the current juvenile crime climate that we haven't lost lives. That policeman stabbed the other day in his own house, stabbed in the head, for heaven's sake. We are not talking about minor criminals. We're not talking about juvenile delinquents who get together in a gang and brawl. We're talking about a serious... Look, I've been in journalism 40 years. I've never seen a situation like this in Melbourne. Now, I know there's a long-term answer there, and the long-term answer is education and engagement and all those things. But we've got a short-term problem, and that is a level of community fear that is palpable. So what do we do?
I think you're absolutely right in that all of us want no more victims. All of us want far less crime, and there's no escaping the fact that we're dealing with a really difficult policy challenge, and there's no escaping the fact that crime and criminal offending can never be excused. The question for us is what's the best way to really get to what we want, which is a safer community. We can have knee-jerk populist government responses, which is putting children in a maximum security adult facility, or we can have evidence-based responses. We can look at what works to actually reduce crime and to reduce and to increase community safety. And putting children in a concrete box, locking them in solitary confinement, is not going to make our community safer.
Look, I think we understand that, Ruth. The problem is, you're both right. We all have these concerns. But, if the solitary confinement for that length of time and lockdown for 20 hours, I don't think that's acceptable. But where else do you put these offenders, these serious offenders? We can potentially, hopefully, the government or the prison system will relax the regime at Bowen a little bit more for them. But we've got to... These offenders, they've been sentenced by the courts. They need to serve out their term. They can't serve it at Parkville. What's needed is perhaps, yes, an adjustment of some of the situation at Barwon, but we can't put them anywhere else.
And
there's nowhere else to put them.
Ruth, what is the government's justification for putting these young people into Barwon and not creating room or space somewhere else?
So if I could just correct a few things there, my understanding is that all, if not almost all, of the young people taken to Barwon are remandees, so they haven't been found guilty, they haven't been sentenced for the offence for which they're being detained for. So that's the first really important.
There are also bail breaches involved there and such things, which is the concern.
I'm certainly not saying that they're bail compliant, or they might not have been given any opportunity to be on bail. But a core tenet of our criminal justice system is that you're innocent until proven guilty, and these young people haven't been proven guilty. So I think we need to accept that. The other thing that I would say is that almost all of the children there are under 18, so we're not dealing with sentenced over 18-year-olds, and I think it's really important that we keep those distinctions in mind when we're having this conversation, because children are different to adults, and we recognise that in all other aspects of our lives. We don't let under 18-year-olds drink, we don't let them vote, we don't let them drive, we don't let them do a whole host of things. And similarly, in the criminal justice system, the response needs to be different. And one of the key reasons the response needs to be different is because all of the evidence, all of the science shows us that children have a great capacity, far greater than adults, to grow out of criminal offending, to change, to transform, and to rehabilitate. And so our job, or the system's job, is to give them every possible opportunity to not become adult offenders, to not end up in Barwon proper one day. The government's response in this instance is going in the exact opposite direction to the direction it should be going in to keep us all safe in the long term.
We have run out of time, Ruth. There's one thing I wanted to add to that is, yes, don't put them in an adult prison. Don't treat them like adults. Well, they should stop committing adult crimes. Some of these crimes have never been committed by children before. It's a bigger issue, of course, is why and how we then deal with it. We'd like to spend some more time on another show on this. Unfortunately, we're out of time now. Have you in, and let's have a longer discussion about this, because we've really just touched on it. Sorry.
Great. That would be fantastic to talk further.
Yeah, we're sorry we're out of time. We thank you for your time today. Ruth Barson, who's the Director of Legal Advocacy for the Human Rights Law Centre.
You're listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.